Okay, so we are back. Last time we finished the preface to B'yam Darkecha, Darchei his discussion about Tainug and enjoyment in Avodas Hashem and Klipos, and all of that stuff, which was really like foundational, fundamental foundational ideas that really a lot of the rest of the out of the Sefer is built on. And now tonight we're just going to read through, we're going to learn through quickly a short section that is the final introduction right before he begins the actual chapters, the actual topics within the Sefer itself. And it starts on page Yud Aleph. It's entitled Devarim El Halomed Hayakar. Just a few points. A few pointers for the dear learner whoever's reading this book. He's going to just work through a couple of important points. Some of them are just technical points about how the Sefer is structured and how best to learn it. Others are more fundamental points in Pnimius HaTorah and Avodah. So we'll expand on those a little bit more. Okay, so he starts. He says, Kedela Kabel Bezras Hashem as Meira as Meira HaTorah Mea Sefer. In order to get the most out of this book, Noir as Teshumas Halev, the Kamanyan, and we want to draw attention to a few points. Aleph, Kol Inyan Banui Kemaimar Shalim. Each topic within the book, within the Sefer, is built, is structured as a complete self-contained discussion, Bifnei Atzma, right, on its own, right? Meaning parak, each section in the book, each topic in the book. Can stand on its own 2 feet. And consequently, he often repeats himself. There are many fundamental ideas that relate to many of the topics throughout the book. And because he wants each of the topics to stand on its own, so that you can kind of jump around the book from topic to topic, you don't have to read it cover to cover. You can focus on things that interest you or that are relevant to you at any given time. And his discussion of that topic will be self-contained. So consequently, he ends up repeating himself about some of the foundational ideas that relate to many topics throughout the Sefer many times. In some places he discusses those ideas at greater length, and other places he discusses them with greater brevity and just references where he's talking what he's talking about or where you can find more about it. Ve'ein beis hamedrash b'lo chiddush, and the truth is, quoting the Gemara, he says there's no learning that takes place without some new novelty in it. Ki al yidei hachazara v'ashinan, because by reviewing something, by learning it again and again and again, discussing it again, hadvarim misbarim ozod. So things become more clear as he discusses them. So it's a good thing that we're going to discuss the same ideas over and over again. Each time we discuss the idea in a different context, we'll see a different side of the idea, a different aspect of the idea, and it'll settle even more deeply into our hearts, Bezras Hashem. There's another important point that's just worth mentioning about this, which is he's not saying this explicitly, but we could say B'derech Kabbalah. That the same thing is never the same, no matter how many times it appears, right? We talked about in the Kutei Halachos on the Parsha Shir just a couple of days ago, the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clothed in malbushim, in different forms and different external forms that kind of communicate something about him. And the Iker Hisparis, Rabbi Nassim said in the Iker Hisparis, the main glory that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has in the world is through Chiddush, through seeing new aspects, new sides of Hashem. And that is seen particularly through new clothing, the new clothing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears, so to speak, and seeing the new ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu presents itself. Sort of reveals to us new things, new pieces of the puzzle, or new aspects, new sides of the Shekhinah that we were unfamiliar with before, and that's very important, and that's constantly happening, right? Because everything, every moment is a recreation, machadesh b'tuva b'chol yom tamid, right? That every single moment is a completely new creation that didn't exist a moment before, right? The world as it stands right now didn't have to exist just because it existed as in a certain way a moment earlier. It's an entirely new creation. And consequently, there's always something new unfolding. It's always expressing some new aspect, some new combination of letters, some new combination of infinite different partsufim and spheros and ramach evar mishasak gidim, etc. All of the things, the kind of building blocks of reality, they all interconnect with each other, like the Rashash teaches in Hakdamah l'Hilchos Anahar. They interact and connect with each other in different, infinitely different ways. And so every circumstance, every reality is actually an entirely new and novel reality. And so applying that idea to what he's saying over here, just in these like couple of little lines, if he takes an idea and repeats it multiple times throughout the book, really, it's a different idea being expressed. It's not repetitious. And because each time it's talked about, it's being talked about in a different context. You see it in a different light. And it's valuable for it to have that discussion. It's not really repetitious. Okay, Beis. Rov ha'aros b'sefer, most of the ideas within this sefer, einam inyanim studium, they're not tangential. They're not unnecessary. Elohim harchavas v'hamakas ha'inim she'asbar beguf ha'sefer v'hem chelek bilti nefer me'inim. They're not tangential and they're not unnecessary. Most of the ideas and most of the footnotes in the sefer, particularly the footnotes in the sefer, are not added bonuses, and they're not irrelevant, and they're not points of reference or for further reading, and what we oftentimes use footnotes for, and they're actually essential. However, b'derech klal in general, kedai lilmod es kol haperek kedai lekavel es ha-tzurasa d'shmeto, v'rak achar kach loshev v'ayin v'aros. But despite the fact that the footnotes throughout this sefer are important, and therefore they should be learned. Nevertheless, he says, right, an ideal way to learn this is by going through an entire parak, getting the big picture of things, and then going back to the footnotes to get into more of the details. But the details in the footnotes are not unnecessary, and they're not extras. They're actually very, very important. They flesh out important ideas. But he's very careful throughout the book to make the main text of the book really an easy read. Something that's easily readable on whatever level you're reading it at. You can read it much more deeply or much more superficially, but it's easy language that flows very well from point to point to point, and it would get bogged down with all the ideas in the footnote if you're trying to read them together with the main text. And so for that reason, the footnotes are footnotes, but they're important, and we have to make sure to get into them, and we will. Gimel, milvad tuchen hanyanim. Aside from the table of contents, hidfasnu b'sof ha'sefer gam tuchen hanyanim aruch. At the end of the book, there's a longer table of contents. There's an index published at the end. Ba'matara ha'ikris bo she'yuchal l'shamish kisichum ba'asher huvu bo kol ha'kosros shehem tamtzis hanyanim. And the purpose of the extended table of contents that he has published at the end of the book is really to kind of provide an outline, a summary outline of the entire book, and you can kind of run through the table of contents to get a to that that excuse me the extended table of contents at the end. It's not really an index, the table of contents to get the full to get kind of a review, a summary review of the things that you saw earlier in the book. However, lo nes fala es sifosein milomar. We're not going to stop saying. It's very important to say misha be'emes rosalik nos kinyan b'dvarim. Someone that really wants to internalize something and acquire something. Tzarech la'amol behem ba'ofen she'yahaflu Torah dilei. Very important to work hard at something so that that Torah that you're learning becomes your Torah. In b'sichumin, whether it's by summarizing things on your own, in b'chazaros, or by reviewing them, in b'chidushim, or by coming up with new ideas, novel ideas of your own in that Torah, k'darkei shel Torah b'chol kochah, and that's really the way you approach Torah in all aspects. Maybe this is a chiddush in some circles, but he's very candid about this, that if you want to acquire anything, and particularly this sefer, but really this is anything in Torah, you have to make it your Torah. We know the famous teachings about how every single person has a particular path in Torah, whether it's tied to one of the letters of the Torah, it's tied to the idea of shalom, like the Yemei Shilach says, that there's a Derecher Darchei Noam, there's a general path of Torah, and then there's a shalom, there's a specific path of Torah that applies to each and every person. That's shalom for them, that's wholesome, that's fulfilling for them, and every person's path is a little bit different. But in any case, the point is that in order to really acquire Torah so that you make a kesher, a connection between the Torah that exists for me, my Torah, I connect myself to my Torah. What you have to do is you have to transform the Torah that you're learning from abstract Torah. That is just a kind of a there's a gap between the subject and the object, right? I'm a subject, I'm learning, and I'm the object of my learning is the Torah. You have to bridge that gap, and the way you bridge that gap is by making the Torah that you're learning actually literally your Torah. As opposed to somebody else's Torah, someone else's understanding of the Torah, or a Torah that's abstract and removed from you yourself, and you just approach it at a distance as someone who is, a subject of it, but not really not theirs. Tanya talks about this in Perek Hey. It's one of the beautiful pieces, I think, in my opinion, in Tanya, where he talks about how the process of learning Torah sort of, you acquire Torah and the Torah acquires you, and there's kind of this intermeshing of your mind and God's mind through learning Torah. But in any case, it's important, he says, it's important to make the Torah that you're learning your Torah. And how do you do that? You have to do that either by taking ideas that you learn and summarizing them for yourself, right? B'sichumim, by summarizing, by restating, writing notes that restate ideas. In the chazaros, and through learning something again and again and again, because the truth is, like we said before, every time you learn something anew, you're actually a new person in the Torah. You're learning is a new thing, and so you're encountering something new. So you're kind of etching that deeper and deeper in a more indelible way that has like more prongs holding on to you, because every single time you learn it, there's like a new hook that's sticking into you. So it you acquire it in a deeper way. In the chidushim, or by coming up with new ideas, by using that as a springboard for your own ideas, which you shouldn't be ashamed to do. You shouldn't be hesitant to do. Your ideas are as good as anybody else's ideas when it comes to Torah, as long as they're honest, earnest, authentic, research, where the ego is minimized and it's really focused on just trying to understand what it is that's in front of me through my eyes, as opposed to somebody else's eyes, that produces chidushim, that produces your own ideas of what this Torah is and what it's trying to teach you. And that is true, he says, "Gedarka shel Torah b'chol chalka." That's true in all aspects of Torah, that we should approach Torah that way. "B'chol echad yachol yihalo Torah menu." And everyone is able to do this. Everybody is able to come up with new ideas. Everybody is able to make the Torah, their Torah, this book, their book. The ideas in this book, they can make them their ideas by applying them to their life and figuring out how they resonate within their own experience. Why? Key. Hello, Torah munechas b'kerenzavas, because at the end of the day, the Torah is just lying there in the corner, like the Gemara says. B'chol anyone who wants to take it can just go and take it, because no one owns it, no one's guarding it. It's sitting in the corner, abandoned. If you want it, it's yours. Dalet, Navi, bizos, esdivrei bal hasharim b'tefila. We're going to bring now with this the words of the Sha'arim v'Tefillah in the introduction of that sefer, Hanogim Gam l'sefer zeh, which also applies to this sefer. He says, Zeh l'shama, Hayosu bo v'sefer inyanim rabim umis al kein harosu l'hafik to'elos meh sefer yira shalo yomadu bo harbe v'pam achas ela ma'at ma'at v'chol pam. He says, because the sefer contains many, many, many different ideas, because of that, really, someone who wants to pull wants to get the most out of it. He wants to get the most out of learning these things, and the most out of the Sefer in particular. So the Sefer is very, very dense. It's very, very easy to read. It's very straightforward, but it's really that straightforwardness and that simplicity is really hiding a lot of depth. And anyone who teaches the Sefer is familiar with the Sefer. I mean, you can teach the Sefer is 200, 300 pages long, or around 300 pages long. Spend years and years teaching the Sefer. The margins of my copy of the Sefer are just covered in writing, and my writing is very, very small. And it's just there's so much to bring out and pull out from the words here. And because of that, he says you have to try not to learn too much at any one time. You have to learn it a little bit at a time. On this, it says, right, too much honey is not good. On the one hand, it's very easy to learn a lot of this Sefer. It's easy to learn. This is not like sitting down with a sugya in Yavamos. It's not like sitting down with an Eitz Chaim. These are hard books to get through. These are hard things to study. Your brain hurts after a little while, and you have to stop. You have to take a break. That's not the case over here. It's very easy to learn this Sefer. You can take a few hours and read through half of the Sefer. Lefisha esakria, because the idea is here. They pull in the reading, right? They're easily readable. They're naturally lend themselves to being easily read. But because of this, but if you read too much of it, it'll seem like we're contradicting ourselves. And you won't understand the differences between one area and another area, one topic and another topic, why he says one thing in one area and another thing in another area. It seems like the book might have contradictions in it. But if you learn it slowly, you'll be able to get more benefit out of it. We call mimer, out of each and every mimer within the Sefer. That's what he quotes from the Sha'ar B'Tfilu Be'ikar. And really, actually, it's not just that you'll be able to learn, you'll get more benefit out of the book if you learn it slowly. Rather, you have to actually be careful with this. And with the work that this Sefer involves itself. Not to try and grab all of it at once, right? You flip through the Sefer. There's chapters on Avos Yisrael and Bittul. And achila and gaiva and kedusha and sleep and simcha and torah and tefillah and teshuva and endless many 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 different topics, and they're all relevant topics. And if you read the book too quickly, you're going to try and practice practices, right? The book is full of one of the reasons that the book is so fantastic. It's full of practical suggestions. It's full of practices, spiritual practices, actual avodos about how to implement and internalize and apply and implement the things that he's teaching about here. The more you read, the more you have what to implement, and the more you'll try to implement it. But that's not going to be good. Rather, the best thing to do is to go slowly, one level after another level, each person according to what's appropriate for them. Until eventually, maybe you'll get to internalize all of it. You'll never get to internalize all of it. Shlemos is impossible in this world. Wholeness, completion, perfection is for God. You can sort of, get into all of the topics little by little, slowly, slowly. And here he drops a footnote, and although he just told us to read the whole parak and then read the footnotes, I'm going to stop and I'm going to look at this footnote. It's a fundamental footnote. It's footnote Yud Gimel, very, very important idea. He says, Gam yesh lesim leib. It's also important to pay attention. Shebedarchei avoda, when it comes to spiritual practice, yesh madregas rabos. There are many, many levels to spiritual practice, right? Kavana exists on many, many, many levels. Even if you just read the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, In Hilchos Tefillah, like it's very obvious that there are many levels of kavana, but of course, if you go into deeper books, there are many, many, many levels of kavana. Kavana is a spiritual practice. It's an avodah, and it exists on many levels. But tzar, you have to be careful. La'asok rak b'devarim hakarov v'nelav. You have to be careful to only work on the things that are close to you. Dahainu ha'inyanim shema'at l'malu m'madregas okays. You have to be careful to only work on the things that are only just a little bit beyond where you currently are, right? It's very important that you push yourself, but you only push yourself literally one tiny little step beyond where you're already perfectly comfortable. It's not bad to be a little uncomfortable in these things, so to create a little bit of friction, but only a very, very, very little bit of friction. You push yourself a little bit past the current horizon of where you're able to go. Now, this in and of itself is actually a big thing from the perspective from in a Al Pi Kabbalah. Al Pi Kabbalah, we know that there's an important klal in the Arizal and other Svarim that Hakol Be'erach, everything is relative to everything else. So the truth is that the thing that's always a little bit beyond my current hasaga, my current grasp, that is or ain't so relative to where I currently am. Right, everything, the thing that's right beyond where my current reach is or where my current comfort level is, that's an or makif to my current or opinion. That's the light that I currently haven't yet internalized. Relative, I haven't currently taken it in and defined it and contained it within my kelim. That relative to where I currently am is or in so that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu bechlodu v'atzmo kavyachol itself, right? And therefore, that's a very, very big thing to take a tiny, tiny, tiny little step beyond where you currently are comfortable and where you currently are. And that's not a small thing. It's a very, very, very big thing. But you have to be careful not to jump too far, not to jump farther than that step. You're taking the next step, right? The very next step, the very next thing that you do is hasn't been done yet. And so that's already. And so that decision, that opportunity. To experience what the next thing is or ain't so that's an encounter, Dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But beyond that, it's not something you should touch. Why? He says, V'lo la'asok b'dvarim hagavohim mideh but not to try and engage with things or to work on things that are too far beyond where you currently are. Because although it's true that a person has to have aspirations, big aspirations. Avoda in practice, you're supposed to think big, you're supposed to have big goals. Nevertheless, avoda in practice, the spiritual practice, the avoda in practice is the avoda in practice has to be at your level and it has to be besimcha at your level. It has to be I'm done in a sense of I'm perfectly happy and content being exactly where I am right now. I don't need to be someone else. I don't need to be somewhere else. If right now I'm able to learn Chumash, I don't have to want, I have to be happy that I'm capable of learning Chumash. And I'm going to try and learn the next pasuk of Chumash, which is not, which I haven't learned yet, right? So that's outside my current horizon. I've learned this pasuk I understand. The next word, the next pasuk, the next paragraph, whatever it is, or the next letter, that is the thing that's yet beyond my understanding. And I'm operating at the level of learning Chumash, and I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I want to learn Chumash. I'm not going to push myself another letter, another word, another pasuk. But I'm not pining over the fact, and I'm not depressed and upset over the fact, and I'm not learning Gemara. But if you're so smart, if you think you're better than that, if you think you're more intelligent than that, and you try to grab levels, so to speak, you try to jump, you try to take on more than you're really currently capable of taking on, you try to do more than what you are because you think that what you can currently do is not good enough. So in the end, you're going to end up crashing and burning. A person always has to be growing. Ode vode, more and more and more and more, and you'll always be growing because you never reach the top. The low is topic, but more, then you shouldn't be satisfied with where you are because there's always more, right? So you can always be growing. You should always should be growing. Avo yizharma ode la los madriga after madriga, but you have to be very careful to only grow one level after another, one step after another, one thing after another. Oh, but practically even safer to that, especially when it comes to learning a sefer like this one. You have to be very careful not to take on this sefer, to receive the sefer in the sense of riboy or of having too much light, too much spiritual intensity coming in. Rather, you have to go little by little, one step after another. And how do you know what's appropriate for you, right? That's one of the hardest things in the world. How do I know? How do I know whether I'm selling myself short and not working hard enough, and then I'm settling for less than what I'm capable of, and not really growing because I'm settling, versus I'm trying to take on too much. Right? How do I know whether I'm pushing myself in an appropriate way or I'm pushing myself too hard, too fast? So he says that the way you can tell whether what you're doing or what is it, the way you can tell what's appropriate for your level is shenashos smecha v'nivnes. The very simple test, he says, to determine whether the spiritual practice that you're engaged in, whatever it is that you happen to be working on, a very, very simple test to determine whether that's what you should be focused on and that's appropriate for where you are. And that is, are you happy? Are you finding joy? And are you being built up through what you're doing? Va'afin kashalo, even if it's hard, right? Not everything that's hard is bad. Things that are hard can be building me up and can be providing me with joy and meaning and purpose. But the point is that mikomakom internally, even when you're doing things that are hard for you, you feel internally that this is a good thing for you. This is positive, this is meaningful, this is purposeful. I'm being built up by this rather than broken down. But something, even ruchnius, even learning, even tefillah, even mitzvah, something that is breaking down, that is corroding you from the inside out, spiritual practice that's ruining you. And if spiritual practices that are being taken on because of nervousness and anxiety and what about this, what about that, these people are gonna I'm gonna burn in hell for this, or whatever, you're doing it simply because this is what I have to do. When you're doing things that way, it requires a lot of investigation, a lot of checking, right? When I'm doing things that are difficult, when I'm pushing and challenging myself, but the pushing and the challenging is actually truly, truly building me up and truly giving me a sense of purpose, not a sense of false purpose, not a sense of die of a purpose, right? The Qumran Rebbe talks about in many, many places extensively, and some of the most, I think, hard-hitting, brilliant, very self-aware ways, clearly autobiographical, the way he writes about this, that these are things he experienced. Actually, the Qumran Rebbe writes all the time about how we have to be aware that every growth in avoda can also trigger serious ego and gaiva and self-satisfaction and a sense of yeshus and self-importance and independence and kohiva otsamiyadi. I did this, it's me, I'm accomplished, etc. And one has to be aware when one is engaged in whatever spiritual practice, work, growth that they're engaged in, one has to try to focus on checking whether I'm getting a sense of genuine, authentic purpose, meaning, joy, satisfaction being built up out of it, not driven by ego, not driven by gaiva and yeshus, but a humble and a sense of bittul sense of being built up. Or am I doing the things that I'm doing because I feel like I have to, because I feel like I'm forced into it, because I'm so nervous and anxious about the consequences of not doing it that I just go ahead and do it because I'm making constant, Pascal's wagers every single time I get out of bed in the morning, because what if God is going to strike me down and punish me? So best I better be on his good side, right? But a person can be extinguished by these things. And when that's happening, that requires serious, serious thought, serious investigation. And I think he says over here, it requires bidika gedola, it requires serious checking. It's not so simple to just say, oh, don't do it, right? By and large, throughout the Sefer, we're talking about pinimius. There's always the Gufei Torah and there's the Neshama of Torah. We're largely talking about the Neshama of Torah, which is the intangibles. But the Gufei Torah of Halacha, of hard and fast rules and practices, those are the Chitzonius of Torah, those are the Kelim, those are the Guf of Torah. And those stand on their own 2 feet, independent of Panemius, right? One of the major criticisms or concerns that people have always expressed with Panemius and Hasidus and Kabbalah is that if you get at the neshama of Torah, then people will throw out the guf because they have the neshama, right? That if I understand the reasons for something, then I don't have to do the thing itself because I understand the ideas behind it. And that's a genuine, legitimate risk. And we have to reinforce the idea that regardless of the panemius ideas that we engage in, halacha remains binding and paramount, as the Rambam puts it. Halacha is halacha is halacha. Once it's been commanded, we're stuck with it. Even if it doesn't, as he says in the Morna Bukhim, in Sefer Chelek Gimel, I think, Chelek Gimel, Perek, Lamed Dalet, Lamed He, something around there, as he says, right? Torah doesn't always achieve what it's supposed to achieve for people, right? Halachic observance mitzvahs don't always achieve exactly what it is that they're supposed to be achieving for any given person all the time. They work mostly well for most people most of the time, but sometimes for some people in some circumstances, following the Torah has negative repercussions, and yet he says, still got to follow it, right? The Gufei Torah still stands. Now, of course, there's a built-in system within halacha and within the Gufei Torah, within mitzvos, that determines how to apply halacha in those kinds of circumstances and who should do what and how much pressure there has to be on the other side of the scale to say don't do this mitzvah or go ahead and violate that derabanan or that whatever that avera, you can do this. Pikuach nefesh, hefsed. Special circumstances, they're endless. But I think that's what the Bidika Gedola here is, right? He says, right? So when the Panemius is not working, when the Panemius and when the observance of Torah is producing negative outcomes, you have to take this negative spiritual outcomes, negative Panemius outcomes. You have to take a careful look to determine how to deal with that exactly. Okay, but in any case, we'll move on, we understand in and of itself. Right? We're not talking about things here that are nogei lahalacha. We're not talking about following halacha, which is an obligation, and it doesn't matter what you're feeling or not feeling. The relevant obligations, the relevant rules of halacha still apply. Now, those rules in and of themselves provide space and flexibility to deal with challenging situations when observing halacha has negative repercussions, but that's within the system of halacha. Here we're talking about avoda pinimit. We're talking about internal avoda spirituality and madregos, right? The levels, the many, many levels at which one can observe halacha and engage with avoda Hashem and devekos, but not the baseline. Okay. In any case. Hey, back in the main text on the top of Patriot Bays, Os Hey, Odzos Nidagra, El Halamed Heakar. We're going to say something else to our dear reader. He says, Derech Or Hashem Yisbara, Hu Shehu Miskala Umisnasa. The nature of the Or of Hashem, the nature of Hashem's revealed, obvious experience, felt presence, is that sometimes it's here and sometimes it's hidden. Sometimes it's revealed and sometimes it's closed away. Vitamid Aparesha Ha'ir La'adam Divrei Torah, and always after a person is illuminated by the words of Torah, right, you experience a spiritual high. V'his notes the libo esh kodesh, and the light of Torah creates sparks within your heart, right, inflames you and lights you up and provides you with motivation. V'ato yisbara v'leit ms, to serve Hashem with a complete heart. Magia zman after that, inevitably, is a tamid, right? Tamid. Always, this is the case. Always, after every spiritual high, there's going to be a period of sha'or mishasa, when that light is now covered over, is hidden. And then the yitzhara, the part of you that is focused on ego, on self-preservation, on self-satisfaction, that's going to try and cause you to give up. But Amro ains abishilfa, to tell you it's not for you, right? You were feeling good, but now you're feeling down. So I guess if it's not working for you, then it's not for you, because everything about this is really, it's for you. If you're not feeling good, you're not enjoying it, then give it up. This is all about you. This is really the way. As the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says there was evening and there was morning. That is the normal cycle of creation. That's the normal cycle of all reality. Sometimes there's light and sometimes it's not light. Sometimes it's evening, sometimes it's morning, it's daytime, it's nighttime. Lahach with Meirosh, to determine from the very beginning, right? It's encoded into the nature of our reality. That's what Vayera, Vayivoker, and Maaseh Bereishis is. It's the encoding of the patterns within our actual, within all of reality. And those patterns just reverberate through every particular phenomenon. And if it's true in the world that there's days and nights, it's true within a person that there are days and nights. Lahachlit Meirosh, to determine from the very beginning, was Chazek, was Amit, Bemuna, and to provide you with a basis for having some emuna, some trust that this is the way it's supposed to be, right? Kibiz mane choshech. At times when it's dark, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence is not obvious, when the aura is gone, tzarech l'chachzuk be'emes, you have to strengthen yourself, lo la'azov, and not give up, not give it up, not walk away. V'chazek es atmo, you have to strengthen yourself, harei kodem ha'ir li me'od, v'ergash b'yes ha'emes, v'reisi sh'ashem es v'achimim. You have to strengthen yourself by saying, oh, once upon a time, it was working for me. I felt the light. I felt the truth. I saw that Hashem was with me. If so, then there's no difference actually happening now, right? Ani Hashem lo shamisi. Actually, there's no real difference between what was and what is happening right now. If once upon a time it was working well for me, it's still working well for me. Nothing has actually changed. And the fact that right now I'm not feeling it, that's only because of the darkness. It's not actually because I'm not feeling it. Darkness is not a consequence of me not feeling it. The darkness is a veil, is a illusion. That despite the fact that the aura is still there, because Ani Hashem lo shanisi, Hashem doesn't change, the aura is always the same, right? The aura in sof that was memale es hakol, nothing really changes with the symptom except the impression of something else existing. The aura appears to be withdrawn. That withdrawal, that actual symptom, is just a covering over of the aura, the creation of distortion that allows, creates space to think that there's something other than the aura in existence. The same thing over here, the aura is still there, and it just seems, it appears, it looks like it's dark, but it's not actually dark. If I hold strong, Hashem is brachi early, then eventually it'll come back, or it has to come back, because there's a cycle. And I will uphold the pasuk of, I wait for Hashem, who hides his face from the Jewish people, the kavisiva. And I will hope for him. I'll trust in him. I'll hope for him. It'll come back. He's here. He's here. I don't even have to wait for him to come back. He's already here. I just have to wait to see it again. So this idea in Osei is very, very important, especially going into this book, because you get into this sefer and you get into the practices associated with this sefer. And it's a roller coaster ride. And before getting on the roller coaster ride, you have to know that you're going up and you're going to go be, and you're going to be going down. And the downs don't indicate that this is not working or that this is wrong. Actually, as he'll explain much later, and maybe we'll actually tackle that topic as the first topic, even though it's later in the sefer, because the sefer is alphabetical. But that's actually the most valuable part of the process, is those downs. When things were up and there's a spiritual high, the crash afterwards is actually one of the most important parts of the spiritual growth process, as he understands it. But regardless of that, going into all of this, it's important to note that by era, by there, there's ups, there's downs. It's going to be, they're going to be spiritual highs throughout this process. They're going to be spiritual lows throughout this process. It's going to be positive, then it's going to be difficult. And every time it's difficult, you're going to think that it's difficult because it's not working for me and I should, this is not the right path. I should give up. I should stop doing it. And sometimes that might be true, right? As you said in the footnote before, sometimes that might be true when things are really, really not working, when everything is breaking me down instead of just being difficult as it builds me up and there's something to talk about and maybe this is not right. But if it's deep down, you understand that really this path is building me up and I'm making progress here, but I'm in a low. I'm in a pullback. I'm in a period of difficulty and hastara. So then you can trust going into it, knowing that the hastara is not real. The hastara is a real experience, but the hastara is just the hastara. It doesn't mean no one's there. It doesn't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is any less present than he was when he was Miskala. Vav. You also have to know is when a person begins to do avoda in a more intense internal way. He talks about this later on in many places, but the Yitzhara becomes very afraid. Every time a person is about to try and grow, the Yitzhara becomes afraid. Because this, it understands that through this growth, the Yitzhara, at least that level of the Yitzhara, is going to be destroyed. And therefore, he tries to get a person to give up, to walk away, to get off this path that he's on, this path of growth. Now, I think it's very important to just stop for a minute and talk for a second about the Yetzirah. We talked about this a little bit before when we talked about the idea of klipos. But oftentimes we have this tendency to personify the Yetzirah, to imagine, right? There's a little angel on one shoulder and a little devil on the other shoulder, and this thing or whatever, this creature, this devil. It's a very Christian way of thinking about the Yetzirah. But I think it's very important, especially right over here, to mention that really, 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 the Yetzirah is just an expression of the sense of Yeshus, the sense of I exist, and therefore I have a right to exist, and therefore I have needs and wants that must be fulfilled. The Yetzirah is a sense of insecurity, really. I'm not okay exactly the way things are. And so the stronger the Yetzirah is, the stronger the Yetzirah is able to activate my sense of self-preservation, what the Baal HaTanya calls the nefesh bahamis, right? That there's a sense of I need to preserve myself. I need food, I need clothing, I need shelter, I need this, I need that, and I have to have it. And if I don't have it, I need to feel good, I need to be happy, I need to be satisfied. And I need all these things. If I don't have all these things, then something is wrong and I'm in danger. It's no different than the human brain's trauma response on some level, which is when something puts the human body, mind, emotion, etc., in danger. A body reacts by trying to preserve itself and does things in order to try and preserve itself and builds up defense mechanisms, etc. So, if the Yetzirah is the part of me that is ego, that is selfish, that's insecure, etc., then every time I'm poised to grow spiritually, that part of me is in danger, right? That part of me is in danger because growth spiritually means that greater dvekus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu means that I'm not insecure, I'm not in danger, I'm not in need, I'm fine exactly the way things are, because exactly the way things are is exactly the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to be. What that means then is that the Yetzirah finds itself in dire danger, incredible insecurity. It's about to be destroyed. Then the need for something, insecurity, is going to be destroyed, and insecurity is activated even more strongly by the fact that it might be gone. And so the Yetzirah grows specifically at the point at which we are about to grow. And so the Yetzirah tries to disturb us, create disturbances in all different kinds of ways. Sometimes it tries to create disturbances against us from the outside, right? Meaning it's going to, although they're trying to do good for us, they're trying to do nice things for us, they're trying to do good for us, not malicious, dangerous people, bad people. But nevertheless, the things that they our interactions with them can draw us away from the path that we are trying to follow. Sometimes it's from internal disturbances. Sometimes you experience doubts and thoughts and distractions and considerations and calculations. Sometimes they come suddenly. Sometimes great, intense challenges that you're not used to, that you've not encountered before, just suddenly come upon you. What he's trying to do with the Yetzirah is trying to do what your insecurity is trying to do by conjuring all of these things that trigger your insecurity, is to break you, to show you that you really can't be secure. It's not safe to grow spiritually. You are not safe, because, as just said about, you're about to grow spiritually and get into a car accident, and it triggers anger, the financial insecurity, and a sense of your body being at risk and your mind being in danger, and you're second guessing yourself. What was I doing? How did I get into the accident, etc., etc.? And your emunah goes out the window. Like, are they going to sue me? Are they not going to sue me? What's my insurance company going to do? Is my rates going to go up, etc., or any other thing? Right? It does something to that. That just sets off everything and breaks you. But Yom Elatz, when a person will say to themselves, not a person will say, it looks like from Shemayim, they're telling me that I shouldn't be doing this yet, right? And they'll give it up. And therefore, you have to know from the very beginning, all of this is just the strength, the rising of the Yetzirah, as is what happened to Avraham Avinu, Shasat and Asa, Satan Nahar, for example, where the Medrash describes on the way to the Akedah, the Satan appears as a river, Lafrio Bedarach, to kind of force Avraham back, but a flooded river, an overflowing river, and to try and convince Avraham to go back, right? Because, if everything is in my way, and every time I encounter something, and it's harder to get to my goal, and it throws me off, I had a plan, and this is the way I'm going to go, and now the road is flooded, and I have to go a different direction. It's creating opportunities for Avram to start questioning himself and being uncertain about his decisions and ultimately fall into that, back onto what he already knows. The thing called Mine HaFaros, and also all other kinds of distractions, to prevent him from going to the Akedah. But Avram Avinu Halach in the Kudas HaEmes HaKedimis, so but Avraham just kept going, right? He had figured that this is what was clear to him, this is what he had to do, and he kept going. And yeah, when the river flooded, he had to manage it, he had to deal with that. When there's dangerous animals, when there's all kinds of other things that come up, he has to deal with those situations, not get broken by them, and not fall back into old habits because of the insecurity that those things bring up for him. We can say one other thing, and with this, it'll take us to the end of the section. We can say one other thing. Hishkanu me Mitzvah Gedolim Bagos HaSefer. We've invested a lot of effort in editing the Sefer, Beprat Betzira for the Libon HaLashon, particularly refining and clarifying the language that he's using. We'll see this as we go through. Language is beautiful and clear and straightforward. However, we already know the pasuk that says that the ways of Hashem are straight. Tzadikim yelchu bo, tzadikim will go on those ways. And despite the fact that the ways of Hashem are straight, those who are sinners, those who are looking to do bad, they will be messed up by these great paths of Hashem. He may also, in you, may also matbea lashon from one discussion, from one topic, from one turn of phrase. Yaho echo is or was chazik ba'avada. So one person can read something and be inspired. Vasheni olo halu limsa makom is barapos olis yaish. Another person can read the exact same line, and that can cause them to be despondent, to give up, confused, etc. So, right, he's saying, we've tried very hard to write this book well, to write it clearly, to write it very straightforward, and this, no matter how good of a job we're going to have done, or how good of a job we have done, inevitably, people can take what we've read in different ways, and the things that we've written are going to impact people in different ways. And so all we can really do is to turn back to Hashem with prayer. Hashem is Baruch Yirachem Aleinu. Hashem should have mercy on us. Shelo yetzei shum michshol metachas yodenu. Nothing bad should come out of what we've done here. We're here. V'yiskavu hadvarim brach l'toelas. And all the things we've done here should be received in a positive way. V'tuchim anu al racham v'yisbarach. And we trust in his racham and shekho halomdim mitoch leiv emes. Anyone who is learning this with an authentic, true, honest heart, l'Hashem yisbarach, actually, truly, authentically seeking Hashem, they should understand the real intent behind the words and the real intent that they need to hear. In order to be strengthened in the places that they need strength, and to be awakened and inspired in the places where they need inspiration. And to be successful in rising up and growing spiritually on the one hand, and at the very same time, not to grow too much too fast and enter into the danger of riboy or taking on too much beyond the kelim that you've developed on the other hand. And at the end of the day, people who come to be matar themselves, people who come to purify themselves, we know that that they receive help from above, they receive help from Shemayim to accomplish that. And if that's really what the goal is, then as was touched on, everybody should profit from it and gain from it and be able to grow from it as opposed to the opposite. All right, so with that, we finished both the preface and this short introductory piece. Which again, as we said before, it's foundational stuff, and even in this little piece, a little part of it is about the structure of the book and how to read the book, etc. But very, very important ideas. God willing, next time we'll start our first substantive section. And I think what we may do is we may jump around a little bit from section to section, depending on what is particularly interesting and inspiring at any given time. So we'll see how we go.